Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. That number is 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the program at any other time than 3 p.m. Central, well, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at that very same number, and we'll discuss it as soon as possible on the live Basic Gospel program. In the U.S. and Canada, that number again, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and we certainly would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. That number again, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call, be a part of today's broadcast. Whatever you have on your mind, maybe it's a particular passage in Scripture, maybe it's a problem situation, maybe you just want to talk about world events or current events. We would love to talk about that and point you to what the Word of God has to say. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Bob, I love this passage in the book of Corinthians. Corinth was a great city. In its day, it was filled with worldly wisdom. Right. It was filled with all sorts of things that look good out there in the world, a lot of the things that we see in our world today. But Paul took the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he exploded that city with truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just laid that bomb out there, and people started responding to Jesus Christ. And they humbled themselves. They got rid of their pride. They humbled themselves and received the free gift of righteousness and life. And he talks about that in the first chapter of his first letter. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And there's a foolishness in the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense out there as far as the world is concerned, but that is the power of God unto salvation. Well, he goes on down in verse 30, and he says this, He, Jesus Christ, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's no life out there in the world. There's nothing that we can find that can fill these empty vessels of ours. That life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we humble ourselves and receive this free gift, the foolishness of the cross, as Paul would say, then we are connected to the life source, and we are connected to the righteous one. He, Jesus, has become for us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And he goes on to say, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. There's nothing to boast about there, out there in the world. It's all empty. It may look like it's going to satisfy. It may look like it can fulfill. It may look like it can bring contentment to your heart. But chase after it, and you're going to find that it's nothing but emptiness. And as you chase after it, you're going to find that you're going to have to chase after even more and even more and even more and even more. Eventually, you're going to have to come to a point and say, hey, there's no life out there in the world. There's no righteousness out there in the world. There's no wisdom, real wisdom, godly wisdom out there in the world. And at that point, you can stop and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive you as my life, as my wisdom, as my righteousness, as my sanctification, and my redemption. And if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in you and you alone.
Good words, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today to hear those good words. And we really want to hear from you. Calls are coming in already, but we still have plenty of room for you at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, you know, supporting this message, giving through Basic Gospel is the main way that you can help this ministry reach out throughout North America and reach beyond these borders and shores to share this incredibly good news of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ to the world. Social media, YouTube and Facebook among the most prominent, is making that possible. And here at Basic Gospel, we love our radio outreach. It has been and continues to be our mainstay. But with social media, we're not confined to specific broadcast markets. Social media can, and in fact already is, taking this message to a worldwide audience. But there are so many more that we can reach. If what you hear on Basic Gospel has made a positive difference in your life, perhaps it can do the same for someone else that you know. So please, share Basic Gospel far and wide with everybody. Tell them how to find Basic Gospel, and then support this outreach to help us keep the message going. Join with us with your donation today, or any time for that matter, at our website, basicgospel.net. And to say thank you for standing with us, we want to send you our new series called Revealed, 4 messages that will reveal that in Christ, you are right with God. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your partnership. And again, you can make your donation now or any time at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Cheryl, who's calling us from Cleburne, Texas. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Welcome to Basic Gospel. What's on your mind today?
So it has to do with repentance. So in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And then my friend and I are going through Revelation, and so we're in the area where the churches are being addressed. And there are 5 of the churches that are told to repent, or I will remove your lampstand or your candlestick. And today I was doing a little more research on this, and each of the churches, when it starts out for each one of them, it says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea," and I've read that the angel refers to the pastor of that particular church. I know these churches are historical as well as, you know, they're for our modern times too, as far as, you know, the issues and challenges that each church has. So what my question basically is so Jesus's repentance was from unbelief to belief. What exactly are the churches to repent from? Is it a salvation issue when they are told to repent, or your lampstand will be taken away and removed?
Well, Cheryl, that's a great question. The word repentance itself is a word, metanoia, in the Greek language, and it means a change of mind. And so when Jesus came on the scene, the call to repentance is to change your mind and to believe Jesus Christ, to move away from the Mosaic covenant, to move away from the sacrificial system, to move away from the Levitical priesthood and latch on to Jesus, because in him and him alone is life, and he represents the kingdom of God here on earth. So that was the repentance, the changing of the mind concerning Jesus Christ, and all of us do that individually, don't we? We try to find life out there in the world, and we come to a point and realize there's no life, and then we hear the good news of Jesus, and our mind is changed, and we go from trying to find life out there in the world to finding life and experiencing life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to the churches in Revelation, it's all 7 of those churches no longer exist. Their lampstands were removed. But when John is writing to them to repent, it's more in line with a mission. So it's not necessarily, it's not speaking of salvation. It's speaking about mission. So the mission of the church is to lift up Jesus. And oftentimes we divert from that mission, and we grab a hold of other worthy causes and start promoting that. And I think John is saying, hey, those causes didn't save you. Those causes didn't die for you. Those causes weren't raised back to life for you. Jesus was the one that brought all of that about. So lift Jesus up. Your mission, your message is Jesus Christ. So like the church at Ephesus, they lost their first love. They lost their love for Jesus. Well, what did they start to do? They started to attack the evil that is in the world. They started to say, hey, we've got to stamp it out. We've got to remove it from our midst. And in doing so, they lost sight of the gospel. And so John is saying, hey, let's step back and rethink this whole thing. Rethink why you're in existence. Rethink what God has done for you in the person of Jesus Christ, and get reconnected to your first love. So all of those churches had some things that they were doing, and in doing, they were missing the boat. They were missing their real mission, their real purpose in life. And so John was shaking them up a little bit and saying, hey, let's rethink. Let's change our minds. Let's get back to what God's called us to be, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of this new covenant, ministers of life. Let's tell the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as often as we can and to as many people as we can.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense. So they were just becoming lukewarm and doing their own thing and just not letting Jesus be the focus of their entire message.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, we see this happening in the world today as far as the church is concerned, don't we? There's a lot of issues that the church is involved in, and those are good things. But if those become substitutes for the gospel, then it's time for us to step back and to rethink and rethink what God has called us to be as a body of Christ.
Right. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. I kind of, after reading that article today, I kind of had a feeling that it had to do with the church itself and what the people were doing. So
right.
Thank you so much for clarifying that for me.
You're so welcome, Cheryl. Thanks for your great question.
Yeah,
we certainly appreciate it. Call anytime, okay?
Yes, indeed.
I will.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with David. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. Hey, continue on what you guys are talking about. I think, you know, I was just pondering this today. Do you think Satan's trying to divide the people up? Do you think he's behind it also?
Oh, absolutely, David. I mean, that's been his one of his schemes, his dastardly scheme since the very beginning of time. He's tried to divide families. He's tried to divide people groups. He's tried to divide group from group. He's doing his best to draw divisions between us. And he seems to be doing a pretty good job, doesn't he?
And
that's why we have to stand strong in our unity that God has brought about in Jesus Christ. We as believers are unified in Christ. He is our unity. He's the one that brings us together. So unity is not something that we're supposed to create. Unity is not something that we're supposed to bring about through our efforts. Unity is something that we preserve as a body of believers, and we preserve that when we keep our focus on Jesus. So he's the one that unifies us. He is our unity. So when we come to Christ, and it doesn't matter what our background was, what our ethnicity was or is, those things become, they just fade away in light of who we are in Jesus Christ. So we can stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. So we must guard against Satan's plans, his schemes, his methods to try to divide us one from another. And we see that happening in the church all the time and throughout church history. We divide over all sorts of things, don't we? We divide over how to baptize, whether we immerse somebody, whether we sprinkle somebody, whether we do it when they're infants, whether we do it when they're older. And boy, we hold to a position, and we think we're right, and we want to prove that we're right. And so we use that as a litmus test. You're either with us, and if you're with us, you believe like we do. If you don't believe like we do, then you're against us. So we create a division. Well, that's all part of Satan's tactics, to create division among the body of Christ. And that's one of the reasons Paul wrote his letters to the church at Corinth to address the divisions that were in that body and to call them to unity in Christ Jesus.
Mm, excellent. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, David. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Dastardly deeds of doom and destruction. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, we have an open line, everybody. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Bob. We have a YouTube viewer that is asked a question, Mark Carlos. He is saying he disagrees with our comments on John 6:39, and what those comments were on yesterday's broadcast is that once we're saved forever. We can't walk away from that. And he says, I disagree. 2 Peter 2:20-22 plainly states a believer can reject Jesus even after accepting him and being washed of their sins. Verse 22 gives the analogy of a dog and pig returning to their filth after being cleaned. Well, Mark Carlos, you're actually making my point from yesterday. A dog returns to its vomit, a pig to its filth, because it's a dog, because it's a pig. It hasn't been transformed into something new. When you and I come to Christ Jesus, we're made new in him. Paul calls us a new creation. And why are we new? Well, we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been made holy, we've been declared righteous and made righteous, we've been made alive together with Christ, we've been given a new heart, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. So that's what makes us new. And that's an eternal work that God has done in us through the work of Jesus Christ. So once we're saved, there's something that happens to us internally. And so we're new creations. We're different than what we were before. We have a qualitatively new life. So because we're new, then we're going to continue in this journey of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's now our nature. That's our new spiritual nature. We were once children of wrath, but no more. Today we are children of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, and he has secured us as his very own, has marked us out as the people of God. And that's exactly the truth. So once we're saved, as the writer of Hebrews says, we have been saved completely.
Completely.
That's good news.
Once and for all. Friends, a question for you. How can you know you're right with God? Well, sadly, that answer seems to be hidden to many, many people. And why is that? Basically, it's because people are trying to earn it on their own good works and deeds. But righteousness is not something you can earn. It is God's gift, and it's his to give. Now, this brand new series called Reveal that Bob Christopher has produced will open your eyes to see and receive God's gift of righteousness. We want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to Basic Gospel in this month of July. So just click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift right now if you can. Revealed. You can start now to stand confidently in the truth that you are right with God through faith in the righteous one who is Jesus Christ. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for making your gift at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Waco, Texas, and talk to Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi. How are y'all today?
We are doing well. How about you, my friend?
I'm great, and I have a little question for you, please. When we are saved and we accept Christ as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. So why do pastors make statements like, come, Holy Spirit, come, or you're welcome to join us, Holy Spirit, when we're having our services? Why did they say that when the Holy Spirit's already there?
Well, Amy, I've asked that same question. Why in the world do they not understand the truth that the Holy Spirit is already there? He's in us individually, and he's in us corporately. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, Amy, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. And then in chapter 6, he talks about the fact that we corporately, as a body, we're the temple of God's Spirit as well. So when we gather together as a church, when we gather together as the body of Christ, God's Spirit is already there. We don't have to invite him into our midst. We don't have to call him down from heaven. That's total nonsense when it comes to the truth as revealed in the Word of God, and especially in this New Testament. So we've challenged pastors on that, and we've challenged musicians who sing those songs, you know, "Come Holy Spirit." It's like, my goodness, no wonder so many people are messed up. If we're going to continue to promote error, to teach things that aren't true, it's just going to cause great confusion. So let's get it right. Let's see what the Word of God has to say, and let's proclaim it. If Christ lives in us, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, let's live as if that's true, and let's let our words and our songs reflect that truth. So I'm with you, Amy, 100%.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call, and love the discernment that you have.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bob, we had this question from Corey, who dropped us a note through the app. Says, "Hello, my dear brothers. I was once teaching on the misconceptions about the mark of the beast and the whole obsession with it. I simply stated that all of humanity is born with the mark of the beast, born in Adam, and 666 being the number of man. Only in Christ do we find rest and permanent security, basically saying we are sealed and marked by the indwelling life of Jesus Christ. Now, in my statement, was I overreaching concerning all of humanity?"
Well, the Word of God doesn't really lay it out in those particular terms, but it is true that we're born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We follow the ways of this world, and this world under the power of the prince of the air. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh, and by nature, we were children of wrath.
Yeah.
So that's how we come into this world, and we can escape that through faith in Jesus Christ. We are children of wrath, and through faith in Jesus, we become children of God. So there's an identity change. There's a geography change. We were once in darkness. Now we're in light. We were once in Adam. Now we're in Jesus. We were once in the flesh. Now we're in the Spirit. So there's an identity change, there's a geography change, and there's a destiny that changes. The destiny of those who are children of wrath are eternal separation from God. But those of us who are children of God, our destiny is eternal life and being with the Lord forever.
Yeah.
That's good news. Now, the mark, whenever we hear of a mark, the mark of the beast, it always reflects in two ways, belief and actions. So those who will take the mark of the beast simply agree with the lies of Satan and the actions of Satan, and they want to follow suit. But you and I, as believers in Christ Jesus, have been marked out by the Holy Spirit. We belong to him. And so he's marked us as far as our belief. We have believing hearts in Jesus Christ, and this belief manifests itself in the newness of life that is lived by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us.
Corey, hope you're listening, and hope that's a help to you. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. And if you have a Bible question or a need for scriptural guidance for a life issue you may be struggling with, and you would like to leave us a voicemail, or you can do that right now or anytime at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or you can post your on-air question under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Be sure to join Bob Christopher and me each Friday on Basic Gospel for our new study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. Order your copy now from SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com and be ready to study with us and to see clearly how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, you can order your copy of the book or the study guide right now, or maybe both, by going to this website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Same time, same station, or same online stream for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.